Good morning, everyone. Thank you for inviting me to your church. It's a special opportunity for me to come and worship with you. It is first time to visit this worship service for me, but I have already seen some familiar faces already in this morning. So I want to say to thank you for sending your brothers and sisters to my place, Iwate, in Japan. And also thank you for your prayers for our ministry. So I arrived at Singapore this time on Thursday, and I enjoy the hotness of Singapore and coldness of Singapore in a room. Yeah. And heavy rain, and also, of course, durian. Already twice I ate. So today I came with my wife. It was special because it is sixth time for me to come to Singapore after 2011. But my wife came 8 years ago, more than almost 12 years ago, 11 years ago, almost 10 years ago. We could came together, but this time, thank you for inviting us, both of us. So today, I chose Numbers for my preach, but at first, I want to start my sermon with asking you the question. So who is your favorite character in the Bible? Who is your favorite character in the Bible? Sometimes, if I'm invited to other churches, I ask that questions to attendants. So, Pastor, who is your favorite?
Thomas.
Thomas. Thomas, you may be suspicious. Okay. So, okay. Yes. Joshua. Good. My name is Joshua, so it's nice. Okay. Joshua. Okay. But I'm very disappointed because you didn't say Jesus. Yeah. Of course, Jesus. And next. Okay. Thomas. Joshua. And I notice many people answer Peter, or many people answer Jacob in Genesis. Maybe they feel sympathy with their weakness. I think so. But if I were asked, I would answer Moses. Moses. I'm very interested in Moses. Sometimes I think about Moses too much. So who was Moses? I mean, because he was very special. He was a special leader for Exodus. But he was chosen by God. He had also weakness. He also missed something. But what comes to mind when you think of this man named Moses? A special leader chosen by God to lead the Israel out of Egypt. A man who, though as Israel, was raised as a prince of Egypt, a tragic figure who, while journeying towards the promised land for 40 years, but he couldn't enter the promised land. Or a leader who kept fighting against an unruly people always in his life. He was always fighting with people. So from Exodus to Deuteronomy, we learn of many stories about him. But what is your impression of Moses? What's your impression of Moses? Maybe with beard, and he has rod. What's the others? Your image of Moses. A very strong leader, a believer who remained faithful to God. Today, I chose this verse, Numbers, especially Numbers, chapter 12, verse 3. Now the man Moses was very meek, more than all people who were on the face of the earth. Moses was very meek, more than all people who were on the face of the earth. I think this is big mystery of this verse, because in my image, Moses is not meek. How about you? Meek, or some Bible translation put the word humble. Moses was very humble, more than all people who are on the face of the earth. What comes to mind when you hear the word meek? Does that match the image you have of Moses? I will ask another question. Are you meek? If you think you are meek, please raise your hand. No one. Just me. So, it is said that Moses wrote the book of Numbers, but if that's the case, did Moses wrote that he was the meekest person in the world by himself in this verse? Is he really meek? However, when I became interested in this passage and checked various Bible translations, I noticed that it had been translated using different words. So I already told humble, or some Bible translations put the word poor. Moses was very poor. Does fit? Or Moses was miserable. Or Moses was suffering, or Moses was afflicted more than all people who were on the face of the earth. Meek, humble, miserable, afflicted, suffering. So I want to tell about the word translated to meek, or humble, or poor, afflicted, suffering. So when I look up the word translated this meaning, I find that it is the Hebrew word anav, anav. This is a special word. If I check other passages where this term is used, I realized that this term is indeed used to refer to people suffering from poverty and oppression. So we can see this word about people who are suffering in poverty or oppression by the government or king or other countries. But that's not all. Even in the midst of suffering, these people who trust only in the Lord and seek to follow him alone, it's not the people just suffering, but in the midst of suffering, they trust on God and seek to follow him. I want to check the context of Numbers chapter 12. So this chapter begins, Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married. So what's the problem of Moses' marriage? Some people say the problem of his marriage was took another wife other than Zipporah. Zipporah was the wife who came out from Egypt together. But Moses might get another wife. Was that problem? Or some people, it's imagination. Some people say Miriam was jealous of Moses' beautiful wife. Yeah, it's very interesting. Because Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses, not Aaron and Miriam. Miriam was the first person who spoke against Moses, and Aaron followed her. So what's the problem? We can't know the detail, but we can find out the real reason from verse 2. Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? They were saying, you are not a special, but both of us are also as a leader and a prophet before God. We are also special. You are not only a special, the special one. But it's a big challenge for Moses, I imagine. Because haven't Miriam and Aaron always supported their younger brother, Moses? They were always big encouragement for Moses. They were always against people, if people against them, but they were siblings and fellows for obeying God to proclaiming his will. So today we open chapter 12, but I want to see chapter 11 also. Chapter 11 of Numbers recalls Moses' words in which he wishes for death because of the burden of leading the people. I am not able to carry all these people alone. The burden is too heavy for me. If you will treat me like this, kill me at once. If I find favor in your sight, that I may not see my wretchedness. Chapter 11, in that moment, it seemed as though Moses' suffering had reached its peak. But, however, there was still more suffering to come. The suffering when Miriam and Aaron rebuked him, Moses had no one left to turn to except the Lord. He couldn't rely on Miriam and Aaron anymore at that point, just the Lord. This passage contains no record of Moses' counter-argument against Miriam and Aaron. Not even words of despair like those in chapter 11 came from Moses' lips anymore. But it was the Lord himself who spoke up on Moses' behalf, since Moses could no longer speak and rebutted Miriam and Aaron. In verses 6-8, we can hear the Lord's words. Indeed, the Lord defended Moses, and in doing so, he also said this: "He is faithful in all my house." What's all his house? It means, of course, it's Israel, house of Israel, or all my house. It's house of all people on the earth. So the Lord is saying he is faithful in all over the world. Moses was very meek, more than all people who were on the face of the earth. Can you see this overlap between verse 3 and verse 7? And also, we notice the Lord called Moses my servant. If my wife called me Yoshia Kondo, Pastor Kondo is my servant, how do you think? Or if your pastor call you, oh, you are my servant. It's very problem, big issue. But in this case, if the Lord calls someone, he is my servant. It's special calling. In the Bible, who else the Lord called? He is my servant. Yeah, I already put on screen. It was Abraham. The Lord called Abraham my servant. Caleb. Not Joshua, but Caleb. The Lord also called Caleb my servant. And David. And Moses. It's very limited. Just four people. The Bible said some people his servant, but the Lord directly called someone my servant are only these four people, four leaders, Abraham, Caleb, David, Moses. All of them strove to faithfully carry out the Lord's plans and promises in suffering, Abraham, Caleb, David, Moses. So Moses is also described as a faithful man in all my house. Faithfully heard and continued to proclaim the Lord's word, and was truly the Lord's servant who served more faithfully than anyone else to bring about the Lord's plan. One who, even in the midst of suffering, earnestly seeks the Lord's will. So now I would like to take another look at the description of Moses in verse 3. Now the man Moses was very meek, more than all people who were on the face of the earth. If we were to explain what emerges from this passage regarding Moses as the leader of Israel, we could summarize it as follows. Moses was a man who, more than anyone else, continued to seek the Lord's plan and promises no matter what difficulties or suffering he faced, earnestly desiring their fulfillment while faithfully serving as the Lord's servant before the people. Through such a man as Moses, the Lord carried out his work in the world during the time of the Exodus, or during the time of David, or during the time of Abraham. So I understand this is special worship service for you, special month for you to think about mission. So I also want to think about, try to think about mission with you this morning too. What is the mission? It is not ours, but it's of the Lord. So today I'm from Japan, so I want to share the situation in Japan. So you raised hand when Pastor asked you have you ever been to Japan? And many people raised your hand. How do you see Japan? As a country, it's okay, but as a mission field, how do you see Japan? So Japan guarantees freedom of religion. It is said to be the most difficult country, even though it is said to be the most difficult country in the world for missionary work, mission. Despite a history of missionary work spanning nearly 500 years for Catholics and over 150 years for Protestants. The number of Christians does not exceed 1%. And my place, Iwate, it's northern part in Japan, so local area, about how many kilometers from Tokyo, maybe 500 kilo from Tokyo to the north, it's Iwate, our place, my place. So Iwate in the area where I am engaged in mission work 22 years ago, just after graduate my seminary. And Iwate, it's you have sent your brothers and sisters from EP churches after the disaster. But this Iwate, the current figure is just less than 0.1% of Christianity. So we are lack of pastors and workers. So many pastors have to have his responsibility for not only one congregation, but two or three or four. It's not only in Iwate. Many of my friend pastor have responsibility for some congregations, traveling around. So last week, we had memorial time for my previous pastor. My previous pastor passed away last year, so we had memorial service for him. But his wife told us he had responsibility for eight congregations or gatherings at one time. Always he was traveling with pastoring his own church, Morioka Bible Baptist Church, but he was helping other churches who doesn't have their pastors. It's the reality of our place, Iwate. But in Iwate, 15 years ago, when tsunami hit, about 6,000 people died in the disaster without knowing of Jesus. Even today, people are dying without listening to the gospel. Even as we continue to sow seeds, we do not know when we will see fruit. Nevertheless, we churches continue to listen to the Lord's promise. It's Matthew chapter 9, 37 to 38. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. This is promise of Jesus. But many of Christians in Iwate have kind of suspicious. Where is harvest plentiful? Where is laborers? We have prayed for laborers. So before the disaster, before 2011, we couldn't see no missionaries in our place. And even after I became a pastor, I saw some churches was closed. No pastors, no missionaries. Where is harvest? Plentiful. Disaster hit our place and more than 6,000 people died. But we pray earnestly to the Lord. He answered to our prayers. Many volunteers, Christian volunteers, have come to our place from all over Japan, and not only Japan, from other countries, from Singapore. Even now, you have sent, you are sending your brothers and sisters to Iwate. It's amazing for us. So, how is the mission field in Singapore? What is the Lord's plan for your lives and your church today? In Japan, it was so sad. It was pity, disaster hit. But after the disaster, we have seen how God has been answering our prayers. New churches have started. Even they are so small, many of them were less than 10 attendants to worship service. But to the places where there were nothing, but after the disaster, churches were born, and we have continued to share the gospel to people in that afflicted area. So what's the plan for you in Singapore or from Singapore? So we have thought about Moses today. He was anav, meek, miserable, and faithful as a servant of the Lord. What is needed in this day and age are leaders, churches, and believers who, rather than seeking to fulfill their own plans and aspirations, honestly seek to fulfill the Lord's plans and will as servants of the Lord. Turn to God in times of suffering and silence. Be faithful in God's house. Stand firm on his promises. Keep praying and sowing seeds in challenging field. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gospel and the life you have given us. We thank you for the grace you have shown us in making us your church. Please reveal your plan to us. Send us as your servants to our neighbors, our families, and our friends in Singapore and also in Japan and everywhere on the earth. May your will be done. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.